from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Well, good morning, Spencer German Potato Salad.
Good morning, Ken.
Audio courtesy of the Browns Radio Network and your flagship home for Cleveland Browns football, 92.3 The Fan and Bally Sports Ohio. It's good to see Spencer German in for Anthony today. And first off, should Deshaun Watson have played on Saturday? Should he have played? Do you believe he should have played?
No. I didn't need to see him.
Well, you really put it in there, didn't you? You really stuck it out there and let everybody hear you.
I didn't need to see him. I mean, I mean, do I want to see him? Yeah, but I at the same time, like there, it was a lose-lose situation for Stefanski, because if he plays him and he just stinks up the joint, because the offense has looked sort of disjointed at practice anyway with the offensive line issues and whatnot, then everyone is just calling in this morning saying, well, what the hell is going on with this team? Deshaun's going to stink again. But if he plays him and he gets hurt, then that's the one thing that puts his job on the line.
Well, people can't have it both ways, because everybody in the world makes a gag to me and says how preseason doesn't matter and how I overrate the preseason. But then the same people want to call in and say that the team's going to suck because Deshaun Watson might have played or didn't play, or anything about the offense not looking good or the defense. Like, if it doesn't matter at all, then it matters about getting your work in. Like, what do I glean from anything being taken away from preseason games to say whether or not this team's going to be bad or good? So that's why, like, when people say, oh, preseason doesn't matter. Well, clearly it does if you're getting frustrated and sending me emotional messages over this team and their performance in the preseason. Clearly it matters a little. You're telling me you didn't get a little excited over Jamari Thrash's preseason? Michael Woods, the second, right at the end. Now, probably a lot of people were in bed, but right at the end of the third preseason game, making the best case he possibly can with the 2 touchdowns. Yeah.
Well, I think
nothing.
I do think for some of those guys that are fighting for roster spots, like seeing them do it, because it's one thing to do it out in the practice field in Berea. We know
they want to see them in a game.
Right, they want to see those guys in a game. But I think that applies more so for like back end of the roster guys. Like, you're worried about what Joel Bitonio is going to give you in a game setting. You know,
yes.
And I think, and largely, I think this team feels like they know what they're going to get from Deshaun in a game setting. Maybe the fans don't know.
And
that's why you bring up, like, we all know, we go back to you bringing up them going 4-0 in the preseason, however many years ago that was, and we have a good laugh about it.
It is funny.
But I think the fans cared more about this preseason and Deshaun and all that than Deshaun does, than his teammates do, than the players do. Because I get it. Like, fans see Deshaun do something so that they can then take that these next 2 weeks, and we have to talk about this team and project. Yeah. You guys are going to play the schedule game coming up. It's going to be like,
played the schedule game. Schedule game gets played after the schedule gets released.
Oh, I thought you'd do it again before the season.
No, Lima did something about what was it? That was then. This is now. He did it once, and then of course he never wants to do it again.
This is new Lima. Crazy. He doesn't do it anymore before the season.
I mean, he has plenty all the time in the world. He could possibly write it down this week, but he won't do that. So don't matter about that. But go ahead. What were you saying?
Yeah, I just think, like, fans want to look at the preseason, see Deshaun play, and be able to divulge, like, they're going to suck, they're going to be good. I think it's more about the fans feeling how they want to feel about it than it is for the team itself.
So then if I turn around and say the preseason doesn't matter, does that mean I'm protecting my own feelings? Because I think there's a lot of people protecting their feelings on another sport in Cleveland I'm going to talk about, but that's beside the point right now.
I don't think it's protecting your feelings. I think that it's just I cannot pick and choose.
I cannot tell, like, if you were doing a show with me like you are right now, and I were to tell you that preseason doesn't matter, and then 5 minutes after I say that sentence at 6:12, I tell you that I'm very concerned about Deshaun Watson because I haven't seen him in the preseason. Well, then what does that mean? What does that mean? I mean, when I say it doesn't matter, was it?
I guess you got to explain that.
Ask me. You would go, "What does that mean?" You 5 minutes ago, you said
I just
want
to know how you went from the preseason ultimately mattering to the preseason doesn't matter.
Because I would tell you
if you were to tell me the preseason doesn't matter, because you've told me in the past that the preseason matters.
But I remain steadfast that there are plenty of things about the preseason that matter. I mean, guys got jobs on Saturday based on what they did in preseason games. Like that, when people go, "Well, we got to get rid of the preseason." I don't think you're going to get rid of the preseason. What you're going to do is you're going to get an 18th game, which is going to take away one of those preseason
games.
Maybe
more.
You are probably going to have more joint practices, which means that the number ones will get their work in a controlled environment versus the other team's number ones. And then on Saturday, you're going to play a preseason game in a stadium that they can sell to people. That's what they're going to do. And the coaches are still going to be coaching in that game because they want to go over their game day operations. There was a challenge by Mike McDonald, I think, late in the game on Saturday that I'm just going, he's making this challenge just so he has practice to make the challenge and go through this. There's no reason to challenge this. This is pointless. I'm sitting there talking to Gibbs up in the booth. I go, this is a pointless enterprise other than he's just getting practice on challenging something. He finally got something that he could challenge with 8 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter.
That's what the preseason is.
And that's what the preseason is. And that is why the preseason, not to the fans, but to them, it matters.
That's why
it matters.
I think that we throw out the phrase the preseason doesn't matter as like a blanket statement.
Yeah.
I think that comes, at least from my perspective, and I think your perspective as well, Ken, I think that comes with the caveat of like...
Yeah, we pick and choose.
Things matter. Like, there are things that matter, but overarching, we shouldn't divulge a lot of things away from the preseason. And I think there's plenty of examples of this. So, I mean, last year, people were saying Kenny Pickett was going to be an MVP candidate based off the preseason.
Which made the preseason fun because when he wasn't a candidate, when he
was,
no, it was more than Pony. Ryan Clark said he was going to get votes.
Good Morning Football was talking about him.
Yes,
being an MVP
they said
candidate.
He was going to get votes.
Yeah.
I don't think he was going to be the MVP, but they said
Peter
he would
Schrager,
get MVP votes.
It.
Is what they were. Now, Peter Schrager said it to anybody, so I'm not going to rip on Peter Schrager for it, but I will rip on the other guys for it. Andrew Berry was asked Saturday night on News 5 about Deshaun Watson and his confidence in Watson, despite we're not seeing him in the preseason.
He's had a really strong camp, a really strong spring. The way we look at the quarterback position are really all of our starters. We get a lot of really good work, good live work in training camp, and then with the joint practices with the Vikings. We actually like those settings maybe a little bit better because it's a little bit more of a controlled environment in terms of getting some, say, unscouted looks, you know, so to speak, while also minimizing the injury risk for, you know, for our players. So we feel very good about him navigating in a game setting, and we're looking forward to starting the regular season. We think he'll be just fine.
Again, audio courtesy of WEWS News 5. So, no preseason play for Deshaun Watson. The thing that I wish, and they probably shouldn't have done, well, there's no reason. They should not have said he was going to play this week. Yeah. There should have never been a conversation about that, and there should have never been a statement at all that he was going to play on Saturday. It never should have happened the week before. I know that was the plan. I know that's
he
what they were
just
trying
done
to do.
We're going to weigh all the information leading up to the game start.
What they were trying to do was calm people's, cool people's jets about him playing or not playing in the game or him playing in the preseason and then him showing what he could do in the preseason. I think they had every intention to play him on Saturday. And then as time went on, because you lost offensive linemen the Saturday preceding it, because you made the comment, I believe, on Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken, maybe Monday.
It was Monday about playing in
Seattle.
There we go. The week before the Vikings even came.
Yes. Yeah. And so then the Vikings come to town. You lose two offensive linemen during that stretch. Then the conversation changes. And then it was a big conversation. Well, what's the weather going to be like in Seattle? Because it basically... It wasn't a pour down.
None of those were the reasons why they said he wasn't playing.
Exactly. But
they
if you would have just said
general soreness.
We will make a decision before the game on whether or not he's going to play, and you kept everybody in the dark, like you've kept everybody in the dark over the last 4 years, then it would not have been a big deal. But because he's listed as general soreness, then everybody's going to freak out, which he had. Yeah. They made sure to let everybody know on Thursday he had his full workload. He got his full workload in on Thursday in practice.
We just didn't talk about it after that.
But there were no fans. Well, I didn't have a chance to talk about it.
Yeah. Had to get on a plane and fly away. Yeah,
but there were no fans to see it after that, so it really didn't even matter.
The general soreness thing, it's funny. Like, I wake up, since he's made that comment, I've woken up like each day thinking something different about it. Like, the first day I was like, oh, it's not a big deal, whatever. Stefanski said it wasn't a big deal. And I'm going to be honest. Like, at first I just kind of felt like, Ken, it was a convenient excuse. Because
that's Kevin, the most inconvenient excuse Kevin, you could ever have.
Because Kevin Stefanski doesn't want to come out and be like, well, our offensive line sucks right now, so we don't want to put him out there. So I kind of thought like, oh, they're just going to use this as the reason he doesn't play. But then I think back to last year when he was day-to-day for like 4 weeks with the shoulder issue at the beginning of the season. It's like, so they don't give you transparency on anything injury-related. So now you're kind of like, I don't know if you have to hit the panic button, but it's like, we might have to revisit this.
It's not a convenient excuse. They made it even more inconvenient by giving
worse,
that.
Yeah.
Because when you say soreness on a guy who has a shoulder injury that everything is riding on, the feeling of the team is either a repeat of an 11-6 season or sub-500 based on the quarterback. So when you tell people that it's general soreness, well, what does that really mean when the entire time, as Anthony had highlighted, it's ahead of schedule? So that's why I go back to last Monday and say, or 2 Mondays ago, and say you never should have said that he was going to be playing against the Seattle Seahawks. You should have just left this in the dark, and that was it. And then you could always say, well, we decided the way that he had played in the preseason, or excuse me, in the practices, was enough. We didn't want to put him out there because the Jets didn't put Aaron Rodgers out there. I think there were a couple other quarterbacks that didn't play in that preseason game. And they didn't. And there was a, well, he hasn't played since week one of last year. Well, of course he hasn't played since week one of last year, talking about Aaron Rodgers. But it was a more buried thing than what we had done over the previous 2 weeks. And Andrew Berry can say whatever he wants, but because you made that declaration, it doesn't matter as much. Because you've already told me before. Like somebody had highlighted on social media, RJ on social media, Twitter reactions brought to you by Chapman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. It felt a lot like what had led up to the game against Baltimore in week 4, where no one really knew.
Yeah, I saw people saying that.
And they were going to let everything decide, and then Deshaun eventually decided because of the shoulder that he wasn't going to play, and then Dorian Thompson-Robinson, which I could not believe it. I thought they'd be much more prepared for it, and that Dorian was going to either play or Deshaun was going to play, and that was always their decision. It was not that way, and clearly it led to a bad day at the office for everybody involved.
You know, what's kind of interesting, you bring up the Aaron Rodgers comparison.
I do.
Somebody yesterday when I was hosting brought up or threw out that he – and I didn't verify this, but he mentioned that he was pretty sure the only two quarterbacks that didn't play the entire preseason were Deshaun Watson and Aaron Rodgers, which is interesting because you can make a case like those are the two players with like the most pressure on them across the NFL going into the season.
Yep.
And those are the two guys that didn't play in the preseason.
And their teams gave up the most, but their teams gave up the most for them. And you would say, I'm not going to put them out there in a preseason game that technically
they
doesn't
have the
matter.
Most the teams that have those two guys have the most to lose by having them because they just saw him get hurt last year. And they're probably living in their fears a little bit that way. Which, and I get that makes sense for a coaching staff that, you know, New York's coaching staff, they're trying to save their jobs. I think Kevin Stefanski's probably safe unless something really terrible happens. And that's probably part
of the NFL.
Yeah. But that's also part of the reason why I don't think you put him out there in the preseason because nobody's questioning Kevin Stefanski right now as a head coach and the leader of this team and the culture and all that. But the second you put him out there in an exhibition game and he gets hurt, that's where people are like,
so,
well, what a dumb decision.
What do you expect out of Deshaun Watson?
Over the last couple of weeks, and it's also funny, we played the Andrew Berry comments and he brings up the joint practices and he's using that as a point of confidence for why they feel good about Deshaun. What's funny about that, Ken, and I don't know, were you out there for those 2 days or one of those days?
Yeah.
They didn't look that great during those 2 days against the Vikings, and Deshaun didn't look that great. Now, some of that was the offensive line.
Defense looked great, though.
Defense did look great.
Defense looked like
offensive line struggled.
Boy.
He struggled. Some of his struggles were because of the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny that like that's the thing that they find confidence in him. But I'm gonna be honest, just being out there at camp every day, following this team, I kind of the last couple of weeks have just kind of reverted to this idea that they're gonna probably get off to a slow start like they did last year. Like Deshaun will probably need a couple games. And I think that's also just kind of life in the NFL right now. Defenses tend to be ahead of offenses. I think because teams aren't showing you much in the preseason, they don't want to risk players getting hurt. The Browns really leaned into that idea. I think these first 3-4 weeks of the season always kind of become like a test run of how things are going to work. And I think that's twofold, Ken, when you talk about a team that has a new offensive line coach, a new offensive coordinator, and a new offense that has elements from that new offensive coordinator that you're all kind of blending together. It's going to take some time for everything to kind of get in sync and get on the same page. So I kind of feel like it's going to be a little bit of a slow start for Deshaun and the offense as a whole.
216-474-0092. Sal in Cleveland. Sal, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Great show. Hi. Glad to hear you this morning, Ken. Listen, I wanted him to play, even if he just went in there and handed the ball off three or four times. You're a football coach, Ken. You coach Axel's team.
Sal,
I got to laugh at myself.
Absolutely right, Sal. This is the same deal. Keep going.
So you coach that team, and you're going to just not have Axel play the preseason.
Sal got cut off. But. Sal, are you there? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Sure,
I'm here.
It's going to be
Sal,
great.
I mean, yeah. I know you got it.
Yeah, you're going to catch in the preseason.
You're telling me you're making a joke, right? Yeah, thank you very much. 216-474-0092. Like, there's no way.
Sal was going to give us something.
Though, Ken, you strike me as the kind of parent that's like, nope, if there's a preseason game, your son's playing in it. You don't care.
Yeah, he needs all the season he can get because he's in fourth grade.
Okay.
That's what fourth grade should. By the way, they won on Saturday. More coming up on Lima Likes. This is what people are leaving on the coming in hotline.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Are we serious?
That is coming in hot. Did anybody say anything about PSLs? I think Kevin's just assuming they're going to have PSLs. Maybe they will.
Kevin and Cam's, not Kevin Stefanski.
It sounded, well, when he says, hey, this is Kevin, I thought that was Kevin Stefanski because he has that, hey, has Browns that fans, this
yeah,
is Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah.
And it sounded, I was like, whoa.
Maybe it was Kevin Stefanski.
That was, in fairness, that was left before the final preseason game.
Okay.
On Friday afternoon on the coming in hotline.
So you can get to the coming in hotline. All you need to do is get out your free Odyssey app. It's absolutely free. You follow or favorite 92.3 The Fan, and then you go to Listen Live, right? You click on the banner, and there's a Listen Live button on there, and then it's orange. The Listen Live button is orange, and then to the right of that is a microphone, and that is the coming in hotline. And you click on that, and it says tap the microphone icon to record a message for 92.3 The Fan. You record a message. Get it in within 30 seconds. Anything over that, it's probably not going to be great. 30 seconds, right to it, boom. PSLs even, it doesn't matter.
I can't wait to hear old the montage PSL of people that just leave you Super Bowl, Super Browns chants.
I hope there are. It's somebody posted something on a Reddit, I believe, about Super Bowl, Super Browns. I was happy about that. So I'm very good. I was told about a Reddit that somebody was posting on college football or something about Super Bowl, Super Browns. I'm very happy, and I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to the coming in hotline. Looking forward to more hot takes like that. Real quick, when it comes to, because I want to get to the Swartz audio, and we're going to get to the back to Watson coming up in a bit, I promise. But let me say this. I don't think that Saturday would have changed anything. This is why I just wish they would not have said anything, or Stefanski would have said anything on Monday about Deshaun Watson playing the next week against the Seattle Seahawks. I wish he would have never said it. He shouldn't have said anything. Shouldn't have said anything about it. Said continue to say it's going to be a decision that we make internally, and that's it. Move on. And I know that there was plenty of heat, and I know those reporters were bothering him incessantly about it, which is their job to do it. But he should have just kept feeding us nothing and saying we'll make our decision internally as the week goes on. We're focused on the Minnesota Vikings and the joint practices at hand. That's what should have been said. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think there would have been anything he could have done in that preseason game on Saturday, or during any of the preseason, really, if he'd have played all three and he'd have thrown like three touchdowns in each one or something like that, maybe there would have been a different conversation. But I don't think, especially on that Saturday, I don't think there's anything he would have done to change anybody's mind, good or bad, about what he's going to do. There's most people who assume he's going to do something that's not very great, and we're not going to go anywhere on that. There's some people who are hopeful for it, and God bless you for it. There's very, very, very few people that believe that this thing is going to go in the right direction right now and that nothing can get in the way and everything's going to be fine. There's very, very few people like that. But again, God bless you if you feel that way. To the ones that are believing, like I got a message here from Joey. Ken, my gut feeling is Watson plays 5, maybe 7.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Games before we see Winston take over for the rest of the season. Winston was rough, by the way, on Saturday. Maybe even see DTR for a few games as well. Watson needs to prove to me that he's not just here for a paycheck. That is a belief that's held by way more people than we're comfortable with.
Which was
Spencer German in for Tone.
Well, I'll say this. Like, the one thing, I understand all the out-the-field stuff. There's a lot of criticisms to make of Deshaun Watson. I understand why he's controversial. I understand why people don't like him. The one thing that I will never say Deshaun, like, I will never say anything about Deshaun not caring about playing football games for his teammates, for himself. He knows that he, in order for him to kind of restore his image, he has to play. But Ken, like, that's the one take that Browns fans deliver us or share with us sometimes that I can't get behind when it comes to Deshaun.
Because he
rushed back. He rushed back last year to play in that Colts game.
But there have been plenty of guys.
He admitted that he shouldn't have done that. And he's done it throughout his career. But he's played through injuries. He had to drive to that one game when he was at Clemson so he could play with like a cracked rib.
I know, and they don't care about that.
I know.
They do not care.
And it's easy to say because he hasn't played well and he had all the off-the-field stuff and he got the big payday. I get why it's the low-hanging fruit argument to make, but I don't subscribe to that.
There are a lot of fans who love Nick Chubb and would let Nick Chubb in their house and eat breakfast with them right now, would encourage them to do so, encourage him to do so. The same thing with Myles Garrett. But the Browns didn't draft Deshaun Watson. This was a business. Yeah. This was a business deal here. That's what this was. This was a business agreement between Deshaun Watson, the Cleveland Browns, and Cleveland Browns fans. Okay, all the money, all whatever baggage there might be, but you better go out there and win. And so when people have that feeling and then he doesn't quote-unquote show up for work, whether it be his decision or not his decision, and I don't think it was his decision that he didn't show up for work, people are going to have that feeling. But that's the entire point of what I'm saying, is I don't think he would have done anything on Saturday that would have changed anybody's mind. If he would have went out there and performed poorly, the people who think that he's going to perform poorly this season, it would have been a confirmation that it would have done it. Had he gone out there and done well, then we would have just heard it's just preseason and it doesn't matter because he's all he's doing is facing vanilla defenses. It didn't change anything for him. But, and this is one of them, where it might have meant something. Yesterday, Jim Schwartz, give me that 0-2. You said that was the good one here. Jim Schwartz was asked by Aditi Kinkabala on Saturday at halftime about the steps that the defense need to make this coming season. Here's what Jim Schwartz had to say.
I don't know. I think we just got to find our own formula for this year. You know, we talk about last year. I don't think we can just count on last year happening again. We have to take a mindset of going out and proving it again this year.
Audio courtesy of Channel 5, News 5. He was
I love Jim Schwartz.
He was visibly disappointed in his defense, and I think he was visibly disappointed in the defense in a lot of games in the preseason. I think that this needs to be something that's discussed. Now, the secondary was good. Everybody was good against Minnesota. So me, you know, thinking that how good they are and how good they can be, I'm buoyed by that. But, you know, Jim Schwartz is a perfectionist. And the secondary, now you had plenty of guys who are backups playing in these games, but a lot of these guys are still going to make the team. A lot of these guys are still going to be in your secondary room. And when he sees that, I think that that bothers him a great deal. And especially after that Houston game where all the offseason talk, a lot of the offseason talk has been about the quarterback, getting him healthy, Browns returning to the playoffs. I think a lot of people have taken, myself included, have taken the defense for granted in some ways. I think that that performance against Houston, I think that keeps him up at night. Yeah. He knows that other teams are going to see that video. He knows that other teams are going to try to exacerbate those problems and exploit those problems as best they can. And I think he knows that Dallas is going to try to do that week one.
Oh, and I think he knows. That's why he's talked about like adding some wrinkles, doing some things differently. I actually thought the other clip, the other question that he was asked by Aditi, and he talked about how he doesn't really know what everything's going to look like right now because he hasn't had his full arsenal of players with him. I thought that was even more interesting than that first quote. That kind of said to me, like, maybe Jim Schwartz and Kevin Stefanski have different philosophies on the preseason, to be honest with you.
But playing guys?
Yeah, because he seemed like somebody who was like, hey, I wish I could get out here and try some different things, but, you know, we're not taking that route, and so I guess we're just going to have to live with it.
Well,
he's
not the head coach of the football team. There's certain things that Stefanski needs to do that he can't do. I mean, Grant Delpit, a little bit of time with him yesterday or on Saturday, a little bit of time with Juan Thornhill. I mean, Denzel Ward.
Which is funny, because last year Juan Thornhill got hurt in that third preseason game.
And Denzel Ward cannot play in the preseason for obvious reasons. Here's Jim Schwartz on Saturday on that.
I don't know. We haven't had all 11 guys on the field, even in practice, so it's hard to be pleased with anything right now.
I thought that was interesting. I mean, some of it's out of his control, like you said. Some of it's out of his control because it's injuries, and he just can't do anything about that. But it kind of struck me as like, they've really taken this real conservative, we don't want to play anybody and get anybody hurt philosophy. I wonder if Jim Schwartz feels the same way about things.
I think it's selective tough talking by myself. If they do well, if they were to all play in the preseason, I could sit there and say, well, they need to play in the preseason. They need to be sharpened. They need to play in practice. They need to be sharpened. But I'm also the same guy that watched them lose a guy to the IR at least once a week in that secondary.
And they lost guys during the preseason too.
And Ronnie Hickman's a nice young man. Ronnie Hickman should not be left one-on-one with anybody. Ronnie Hickman should not be left one-on-one with Owen Lotteman, let alone wide receivers in the... I'm sorry. That's just what the truth is, guys. That's just exactly what it is. Ronnie Hickman can come in and play safety for you and do as best as he possibly can. You put him in a one-on-one situation, and right now, I think you're... No, he'll make it. He's fine. But I think a guy like that should not be left one-on-one, and I think that that's part of the reason that he's frustrated because, I mean, you saw that in the Minnesota game. You saw that in the Green Bay game, I beg your pardon.
I wonder if preseason game three was at home and at 425, if we would have seen a different lineup in the roster, especially the defensive guys.
Maybe a little
that
bit.
That travel sucks. I know it's only 7 o'clock in Seattle when they kick off, but it's 10 o'clock body clock-wise. Ken, you made the journey. Yeah. You know.
It was. I looked at that. I go, guys, that's 1 in the morning on their bodies. It's 1 in the morning to me. It is late.
And you're finely tuned.
Yes. It's one thing when they do like the West Coast trip last year and they spend like a whole week out there and they kind of get acclimated. It's another thing when you're there for like 2 days. Yeah, it's not great.
Does Lima like or does Lima no like?
Like?
Tell me likey.
I'm liking it.
I like it a lot.
No like.
He doesn't like you.
I don't like you either.
You're tacky and I hate you.
Like or no like? Like or no like?
But I definitely knew what I liked and I definitely knew what I didn't like.
Gonna be a whole lot of Seattle on this. Get out of the way here.
Why is that?
Because I was in Seattle.
Oh, really?
I'd never been that far out west. It was a blast. You know what?
Kenny likes.
The plane ride out there. I had a window seat, and I decided, well, you know, I'm usually terrified of these things, but I mean, what the hell, right? If I fall out of the sky, I fall out of the sky. So here we go. I was like, I've never seen South Dakota from the sky. And I looked at South Dakota. I went, wow, it's all squares.
Were you by the emergency exit door?
I don't think it would have mattered, but no.
Well, it ain't sucking you through one of them windows. So oh, okay. You're good.
Okay, yeah, there we go. And then
you're going to clog that thing up.
Did you do the touristy thing where you take pictures with your phone out the window?
I did, yes.
Yeah?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
This whole camera roll, I'll never look at
those
again.
The only thing I didn't do, it was very much tourist. Like, if this was the 1980s, I would have had one of those cameras, like, hanging around my neck.
Oh, yeah.
But I had my phone out. The only thing I didn't take a video of was the police escort. Because Jim was sitting next to me, and I go, okay, you can't look like a Let's not do the amateur thing next to Jim. Let's just this is not Jim's first rodeo, and it's not his last. Why don't you just keep your phone away, okay?
Yeah, well, that's a nice how do you do.
It is kind of crazy when you're flying over those states out west, though, and it almost feels like you can see the actual borders of the states. An actual, like, it's not, they're not actually there, but it feels that way. Like,
saw the mountains.
Oh, yeah.
Saw the mountains.
Awesome. I'm going to be flying that same direction.
Thought the Rockies were going to be a little rockier than this.
For you.
It was so great. Flew over Montana. I was like, that down there is Montana. I can't believe I see Montana. This is unbelievable.
Axel, I flew over Montana.
It was. But.
Kenny, no likes.
I woke up to Akron, Ohio State trash talk in my timeline today. Guys, it's a bad day to be a Zip. Like, guys, I don't care. All right, I'm an Akron fan. I don't even know if we play Eastern Michigan this year. If you're an Eastern Michigan alum, like Dan Murphy, who's driving in right now from Mentor, if an Eastern Michigan alum, go ahead and try to let me have it. I don't think that my day is going to be affected by Akron losing to Ohio State, guys. It ain't gonna.
Well, finally, this clip counts.
I hate Ohio State. I don't hate Ohio State.
A big week for you.
It's not gonna bother me. But the first thing I wake up, it's gonna be a bad day to be a Zip. I'm like,
that's why you're always yelling, "Zips up."
Yeah, that's what I'm yelling. That's what we say, "Zips up." That's what we do.
Kenny likes.
Gardo's 1-2-3 against Texas.
Kenny no likes.
Reaction from fans. It's like some of you guys want them to lose. I don't understand this self-fulfilling prophecy of what I might have missed while I was out west here. This is weird.
What do you mean by that?
Because I said, hey, all I put out after they beat Texas 4-2 was the reports of the Guardians' demise have been greatly exaggerated.
Oh boy.
And immediately.
You open up the can of worms.
They beat Texas 60-71. Texas sucks. Why they beat a real team? I'm like, guys, okay. I mean, we weren't expected to be a real team. Someone was upset we only gave up 2 runs. That was rich. Yeah, man. I'm like, man, you guys. I was called a Dolan's apologist again. That went well.
Well, you are.
I mean, I thought that went on Saturday.
No, you apologize for anything.
We've been trying to call multiple games this season, like the win that saved the season. I thought Saturday really felt like that. Yeah. And then they won yesterday. And really it was like, okay, they salvaged the series after losing the first game.
Kenny likes.
I caught a hot dog at the Mariners game. They dropped them down.
How was that stadium?
It was awesome.
You just open up your gullet and slid right in.
They drop them down on big parachutes. And I'm telling you right now, Owen, I was 3 sheets to the wind. But anyway,
no.
I looked up and I swear I willed
something
it into
out of
my
a dream
hand.
For Kent Carman. Hot dogs coming down from the sky.
And I held it. I go, it's warm. What is it? And they go, it's a bleeping hot dog. Can I go, oh, okay. And I ate the hot
was
dog.
Was this a promotion or that's just how they deliver hot dogs at the Mariners game?
They just fall out of the sky.
Yeah.
A lot of rain in Seattle. A lot of hot dogs fall from the sky.
Kenny, no likes.
It is too easy to buy way too much beer and spend way too much damn money on beer in Seattle. You go into this thing, and they probably have it here, and I don't even know. You go and you click your phone, and it's like you can take 2 alcoholic drinks. And I didn't even care about the price. I didn't even care about the price.
But we do have a self-service here that has kind of that.
Is that okay? Then maybe it's the same thing.
I feel like that's like every city, though. Like, if you're going on a trip somewhere and you're going to a city, you already spent money on the trip, and you kind of just are like, whatever cost I spent when I'm out there, I'm not even going to really pay attention.
Well,
like, and then you check your statement later, and you're like, oh, boy.
What I'm really excited to hear, Ken, is that you treated this like a vacation, not a business trip, and I'm excited for that.
100%.
I mean, if the rest of the team is treating it like a vacation and not a business trip, unless you're at the bottom of the roster and you do need to make the team. But go out there and have a good time.
We landed, and I'm like,
You didn't pay for airfare?
No.
You're not paying for the hotel. You're good, man.
We landed. I was like, I'll see you Saturday morning because I am going to be out there. And I did. I went to the Pike Place Market. They threw the fish.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see the gum wall?
Kenny, no likes.
I didn't like the gum wall.
I was going to say, it seems gross.
It was. It was only
4 years post-COVID, and you kind of think about it. You're like, I don't really know if I...
Well, I wouldn't even think it like that. I was just thinking like...
People's gum on the wall. And
I did
gross.
Put a piece of gum on there.
We just call that my table freshman through junior year.
I had gum on me, and I decided to put gum on there.
At school.
Yeah. I already said I like Pike's Place, or Pike Place, so I don't even need to put that. Oh, here
Pike's
we go.
Peak. Kenny likes.
I like the weather. It was rainy and dreary, but that's how I envisioned the weather to be.
That's your normal personality.
Yeah,
so
in Seattle. That's true.
Personality.
Kenny no likes.
I couldn't see Mount Rainier. That part kind of sucked.
Too cloudy.
Kenny likes.
They had a beer called Rainier, and it was very good. Very good.
Is it like a darker beer?
No, it was just a regular lager. It was good.
Right.
I'm not a big, you know, I'm not into the whole beer tasting culture, but I'm like, hey, let's try this. When in Rome.
You're not like showing up telling everybody about the great IPA you tried over the weekend?
No, didn't try any of those.
You're in the Pacific Northwest, and I know it's not a Seattle beer specifically, and you can actually find it around here, but Alaskan Amber. Did you see that anywhere? Uh-uh. Did you get a chance? You got to try that.
I didn't look hard, though. That's a good time. Maybe I'll take a look at it.
You're not pounding Moostrel. Them, but you have one or two,
you
and you're like, yeah, that's a good time.
You saying
yeah, I've seen them around a couple specialty stores.
Written that in the book.
All right. Talk to Marcus. I'm sure he'll hook you up.
No, Marcus definitely will.
Oh. Kenny No Likes.
Seattle traffic. They have almost twice the population we do, and they have half the lanes we do. It was a bastard in that area. A bastard of traffic.
I'm kind
of
curious where Seattle traffic ranks. Like, we talked
certainly
about,
worse than ours.
Well, I was going to say Cleveland, but it was like, that seems kind of obvious it would be worse than Cleveland. But, like, I don't know. Chicago, I mean, Chicago's traffic's not great, but, I mean, L.A. is always considered kind of like the gold standard of terrible traffic.
When Lima and I went to Chicago, I did not have a bad time getting in and out of Chicago.
I was going
to
say, maybe theirs isn't as bad.
The right time.
New York's is obviously terrible. L.A.'s is obviously terrible. Seattle, add him to the list, I guess.
Kenny No Likes.
Husky Stadium.
You saw it?
I could see it.
You didn't like it. It's on the water.
For a national championship caliber team, it's not as imposing as I thought it would be.
Mm.
And the weather should help how imposing it is. It should look scary because of the weather. Didn't look that way at all. Like, you go by Ohio Stadium, like, holy potatoes, is that a stadium? That is a large building. And then I looked over, I go, huh. Okay. Yeah, there it is.
I've always heard the coolest thing about that stadium, though, is people do like the sail. They call it sailgating.
Okay.
Like, they sit out on the boats outside the stadium there.
Yeah.
That seems like it'd be a good time.
Kenny Likes.
I saw Citizen Kane on the plane.
He was going to Seattle?
No. George Orson.
He sat right beside General Sornis.
Orson Welles died years ago, but I got
in,
it was
in
on.
Matlock.
It was on the in-flight watching menu.
That
and
was
like,
one of your options?
Yeah. I was like, oh, let's watch Citizen Kane. I was like, I've never seen Citizen Kane. It was good stuff.
Casablanca coming back?
It was available.
Come on.
I did not watch it, though.
Casablanca.
Final
parents'
one.
Favorite movie.
Kenny Likes.
Axel's Team won. I woke up Saturday because I knew I was 3 hours behind, right? And I wasn't getting any text back. I was getting agitated. And like, we went downstairs to eat breakfast. It's like 8 o'clock. The game starts at like, it's 11 o'clock.
Right.
So I know the game's going on. No one's texting me. And I was like shaking nervous. Because the boys, they work so hard. And last year, as Owen knows and a lot of listeners know, it was a very difficult season.
It was a building year.
That's what it was. It was a building year. It was the
first year of a new offense. You got to install it.
Was it just one game last year that you called plays?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And we won. But it was the B game. So in the official standings, it doesn't compete.
This was an A game win.
Somebody even marked. They go, "Why are you so nervous? You hung over?" I go, "No." I said, "I'm nervous because of the results I'm waiting for." And finally, I got a text from somebody. Go, "We won!" Exclamation point. I went, "Oh, thank God! Oh, thank Jesus!"
Axel have a good game.
He started.
Okay.
And
he told me he's a corner, right?
No, but he's a wide. Well, he does play corner, but he doesn't.
When I asked him at camp, he said he was a corner.
They've had him at safety a lot. And then he was at wideout.
Well, that tends to be the trend when you're.
Yeah, my
skin,
son.
His skin complexion, and you get, you know, you eventually get moved to.
What are we trying
safety.
To say here?
That's
interesting.
Ask Dustin Fox.
Let's have this conversation. Yeah, forget plenty the clock. I want you to see if you can dig yourself out of that hole. Interesting.
Like I said, just ask Dustin Fox.
Okay. Coming up at 8 o'clock, the dangerous one, Daryl Ryder.
Boy, we'll talk to the dangerous one, Spencer German.
Speaking of dangerous.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend.
My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.